Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who died, rose, ascended on high, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. Amen. We pray, gracious Lord, teach us, lead us, guide us, strengthen us with your word this day in your house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A question to begin today. What is Jesus Christ doing right now? June the 5th, 2011. What is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, doing right now? We, of course, say in the Creed, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, we'll speak after the sermon, that Jesus right now sits where? At the right hand of the Father. It sits at the right hand of God. That's what he's been doing for 2,000 years. He ascended. We celebrate that this past Thursday. He sends the Holy Spirit next Sunday as Pentecost, the gift of the Spirit. He's going to come again in glory to judge all. What's he doing right now the last 2,000 years? He sits at God's right hand. Big deal. What does it have to do with me? How does it apply to me? We need to speak about the Jesus sitting at God's right hand more in the church. We talk a lot about his death, his resurrection, forgiveness, and all that. We should speak a lot about this to dominate. But we also need to take time to talk about what it means that Jesus sits at God's right hand. I thought that'd be a timely topic today as we await Pentecost next Sunday and he's ascended this past Thursday. The fact that Jesus sits at God's right hand in Scripture tells us that it is to be great, great comfort for the church. This would be great comfort for us in a world of trouble, a world of storms and tornadoes that can come anytime, a world of earthquakes and tsunamis, of war, of death, of murder, of disease, of cancer. You can always get that bad doctor's report, something bad's going to happen. In a topsy-turvy world, we lose jobs, the economy's bad, gas is high, all this stuff happening. It is the Christian's great, great comfort that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Three things I want to say about this today for our comfort. There could be 8, 9, 10 points to this. I chose three today. First of all, the fact that Jesus sits at God's right hand means again, it shouts at us again, that it is finished. Shout that with me. It is finished. Do you really believe it? When Jesus died on the cross, he shouted, "It is finished. The work of salvation is done. You don't have to do it. He did it. The burden's off of you. He did it." When Christ rose, the Father is saying, "It is finished. He paid for your sins." Christ ascended. He went back home, which means he's done his job. He's finished, or he'd still be here. Now he sits at God's right hand. Again, says to us, "It's finished. It's done." He's sitting. Sitting is the posture of being done, of relaxing. I finished my job. I can sit. I can relax. The fact that Christ is sitting, he's not standing. What am I going to do at first? Oh, this crazy world. He's not pulling his hair out. He's not pacing back and forth like some nervous brother up there in heaven. What am I going to do? I got to do something. He's not running around. He just sits. Calm. Not worried about things on this earth. He has everything under control. It's done. It's finished. The victory's been won. This is great comfort for us. This means that the debt of sin, the sin of the whole world, but your sin and my sin, that debt has been paid. Not 99% paid, and we got to do something more now, or he has to do something more. It's paid, it's done. He sits, it's done. We are fully reconciled to the Father. We're not 98% reconciled to the Father. Well, he's still a little bit mad at us and angry at us. No, his wrath is totally appeased. God the Father laid all his wrath, all his anger, every last drop of anger he laid on Christ on the cross. We're fully reconciled to the Father. It's done. It's finished. Jesus doesn't do anything more. It's done at the cross. The door to heaven is wide open. The door to heaven is not cracked open and it might slam shut. The devil might slam it shut. Jesus has to come back and open it up again. No, it's done. It's wide open. No one can close heaven's door again. It's wide open through Jesus. Done. Finished. And this is very comforting for us as we here on this earth continue to sin. And we sin today, and we'll sin tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. And we sin and sin some more wicked thoughts, wicked deeds, wicked words. And sometimes we doubt. Has the debt really been paid, Jesus? Even for my sins? Even for the big nasty sins? The door really open for me, a poor, miserable sinner? Isn't there something that I have to do? Something you got to do? Something somebody has to do? As I continue to sin all the time? He sits. 2,000 years sitting. Don't be afraid, little flock. I paid for all your past sins, present, and the ones you commit in the future. That doesn't mean go ahead and sin. Not at all. That means have faith that you're forgiven. You always will be. He sits. When I was a little kid, I played Little League Baseball. And you know, the Yankees were scouting me, Pat, for a while. Not really. But I pitched some in Little League Baseball. And you know how Little League is, where the scores can be outrageous. You can either lose 25-2 or win 25-2. Well, sometimes when I pitched, I got beat 25-2. Sometimes I won 25-2. But, you know, there'd be a game where we'd be ahead 25-2. It'd be the last thing I might be pitching. We're up 23 runs now. And I wanted to finish the game. I'm a competitor. I don't want the other team to score any runs. So I'd be pitching, and they might score a run. It's 25-3 now. Oh, no. And my dad was an assistant coach in the dugout. He took the scorebook. Oh, no, they just scored. Daddy, you're going to take me out of the game. And my dad would just sit there and calmly just, you're all right. They scored another run on me. Oh, no, it's 25-4. It's getting close now. 3-touchdown lead. Oh, no. Dad would do this. It's 25-7 now. I can't get an out. What's wrong? They're hitting me, Dad. I'm crying out there. I'm getting all nervous. Dad does this sitting there. Didn't get up and pace. Didn't point the finger. Come on, you're a busher. Don't shame my name and get some outs now, buddy. Didn't walk out and talk to me and scold me. Just sat there. Giving me assurance. Don't sweat it, Paul. We've won the game. We're ahead 20 runs, 15 runs. We're going to win the game. Don't sweat it. And as we sin and sin and sin, it looks like we're overwhelmed with problems and overwhelmed with sin. Jesus sits. Don't sweat it. You're forgiven. I'm sitting. The debt's been paid. We've won. We've won. Say it with me. We've won. Secondly, the fact that he sits at God's right hand means that he fills the universe and the church with everything. He fills everything. This is a wonderful teaching that Paul writes about in Ephesians. I'll give you a couple verses where St. Paul writes about Jesus ascending and now he fills the universe and what that would mean. Ephesians 1, Paul says, God has placed all things under Jesus' feet. That means he's king. He has all authority. What are we afraid of when he's king? And set him over everything as the head of the church, the fullness of him who fills all things in everything. As he sits at God's right hand, he fills all things in everything. What that means in a moment. Ephesians 4:10 says, he, that's Jesus, who ascended, is far above all heavens. Okay, he's ascended beyond the angels and archangels. He's above all creation. He's right at the right hand of the Father, all right? He's way above all rule and everything else. He has all authority given him by the Father. It says, he who ascended is far above all heavens so that he might fill all things. So he's at the right hand of the Father and he's filling all things. What's this mean? Well, it certainly means omnipresence. When Christ walked on the earth, he just had a local presence like we have. We can only be at one place at one time. We can't be home and at work at the same time. We're here where you can't be over there. But now he's ascended and sits at God's right hand. Means that as the God-man, he's God. He's omnipresent. And as the God-man, he fills the universe. You can't get away from Jesus. He is at the sun. He's at Pluto. He's at the furthest galaxy. He's in China, Australia, the ocean, the mountaintops. He's right here. He's everywhere. He fills everything. You can't get away from him. He's right here with us in the Word and Sacrament, isn't he? As he is in Australia and China too today. But more than omnipresence, it means that he ever desires to fill the church with all the treasure of heaven. He doesn't want us to go home empty today. What did I get out of church? He wants to fill us with all the treasure of heaven. What is that treasure? The Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit next Sunday, Pentecost. With the Spirit comes the Word of God that we hear in our ears, filling up our ears and our minds with the Word of God. We have the sacrament of His body and blood, forgiveness of sins. Right here is the risen one, the ascended one. He's right here. With Him is forgiveness of sins. It fills us. Hope fills us. Joy fills us. Peace, strength, wisdom to bear all burdens. He fills His empty people. We might then take His treasure to the world and fill the world with it. That's the gospel. The image that Paul is drawing on is an image of a Roman general or ruler who would go off to war and conquer the enemy, and he would return home. And as he returned, they'd have a parade because he's this great general who conquered the enemy. And as the Roman ruler would come back to his hometown, he wouldn't come empty-handed. He'd come with gifts, the spoils of victory. And often as he came back to town and rode into town or sat down on his throne, he would throw out gifts to the people, mainly money, change, all right? He'd throw out change. Here's money for you and money for you and money. I'm not really giving money here, Pat, but money for you and change for you and gifts for you, candy for the kids. He'd throw out stuff to be generous to his citizens. Now, they wouldn't get a whole lot, right? They wouldn't fill their pockets. They'd get a little change from the conquering king. It's sort of like in our day, our athletes sometimes, when they win a game, they'll walk off the court like LeBron James or some athlete. He'll get his sweatband off and toss it to the crowd. What's all the kids do? Oh, you mean LeBron James' sweatband or his wristband or his shoes or his jersey? They all scramble for it. Would LeBron James get out his checkbook and give out all his money, his millions, and give it to the crowd? Write me a check for $1 million, LeBron. You can do it. Would he do that? No, he'll give you his tennis shoes, his wristband. The king of Rome would give you some change. He would not dare open the coffers of Rome and pour out all the coffers of Rome to the people. No way, I don't love you that much. This is precisely how much Jesus loves us. He fills us. Doesn't give us a little scant bit of mercy, but I'm keeping the rest here. He fills the church. All the treasure of Christ can't give any more. All right? He gives us everything from heaven. God's given us His Son. He gives us the Spirit. God's given us Himself. What more can God give than Himself? And with Him is love and forgiveness and grace and mercy. It abounds in the word that we hear and the sacrament we receive. He sits at God's right hand to fill His church, the conquering King dispersing gifts. And last of all, the fact that Jesus sits at God's right hand means that we have a glorious future. He is showing us in a vivid picture our future as His bride, as His body, the church. Jesus sits at the right hand of God. The right hand is the place of honor. The left hand was the nasty hand. You did all the nasty stuff with the left hand. The right hand is the place of honor, the place of dignity. Jesus sits at God the Father's right hand. He's the honorable one. The highest place of honor and dignity and majesty. And we are His bride. We're His body. So where are we going to be in heaven? We're going to be right there with Him. We're not going to be out in the outhouse, okay? We're not going to be out over here in the corner. There's a nasty church over there. Put Him over in the corner. We're going to be right there as the bride of Jesus, right there with Him at the right hand of the Father. We're above the angels in heaven. We're above the archangels. They're going to look at us and long to be like us. We're going to be above Gabriel and Michael and all the angels and all that creation. We're going to be at the right hand of the Father in glory with Jesus forever and ever. That's our status. That's who we are even now by faith. The children of God, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. That's who we are even right now as we sit in a pew in Knoxville, Tennessee. By faith, I'm that. And I'll realize it when I get to heaven. The glory that is mine. The rabbis taught that what was at the right hand of the Father was the Ten Commandments. That the Father loved the commandments so much, He had the two stone tablets there at His right hand because they had the place of honor. They were wrong. The law is not God's honorable thing. The law is good. Something else God gives much greater honor to, and that's His Son, Jesus. The gospel is what brings God's honor. The gospel of Jesus and the church that He brings in through that gospel. So we had a wedding last week, and sure glad that one's over, Pat. Beautiful wedding, but you know how it is for Dad. And I learned to get at weddings something that happens over and over again that you can hardly take. What can a man hardly take at a wedding? Pictures. Pictures. Another picture. And I wasn't even in that many of them. Bethany didn't want me in that many of them because you know how I look. Pictures. Pictures. Another picture. Get here 3 hours before the wedding to pick pictures. What? Yeah, 3 hours. Pictures. 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 Who has the spotlight in a picture at a wedding? Not the father of the bride, okay? The groom and who else? The bride. The groom would never say, honey, I want to be front and center in this picture. You go over in the corner. You're kind of ugly looking anyway today. You go over in the corner and I'm gonna get the picture here. A groom would never... I lost my mic.
Hold on 1 second.
Where was I, Pat? You know, my new son-in-law, is he here today, Brad? Did you tell Bethany to go over in the corner? I want to be front and center. No way. You'd be in the doghouse already. Maybe you're already in the doghouse. I don't know. The groom loves his bride. You take front and center, honey. You're prettier than I am. You're glorious. You take front and center with me. And that's Jesus. He has all glory. He's the bridegroom, the perfect one. And yet in his great love for his bride, you and I, come be by my side. Front and center in heaven at the right hand of the Father, receiving all glory with me and the Father. Wow. And we don't think we're special people. We don't think we're important to our God. Huh? Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Great comfort in a troubled world. It's finished. He sits. He's done his job. The debt's paid. He fills the church with all the gifts of heaven. We're filled up again today as we leave. Full people of forgiveness of sins and hope and joy and peace. We have a glorious future. We too will sit right next to Jesus at the right hand of the Father in glory forever. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.